Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Hey guys, if you're struggling with maximizing midlife for any stage of your life, I encourage you to check out my new guide, the No BS Guide to Maximizing Midlife and Getting Back What Matters Most. In the guide, I cover the three core principles that have helped me to become a better man, husband, father, provider, and athlete. At 48, I've been able to simplify my life, reduce stress and anxiety, perform at a higher level, earn more, be happier, and have more fun. I wanted to share not just my why, but my how with all of you. So to get your free copy, go to midlifemail.com/no BS guide or follow me on Instagram at Greg Scheinman, where there's a link to the guide in my bio. All right, let's do this. It is the Midlife Mail Podcast. I am your host, Greg Scheinman. Thank you for being with me this week and every week, as always. Really appreciate it. Find me at gregscheinman.com. Find me on Instagram at Greg Scheinman. If you like what you hear, give us the thumbs up, the 5-star review. Keep the show growing. A lot of cool stuff going on this week. Aaron Hind, co-founder, president, Life Aid Beverage Company, coming up on the show. But first, shout out to my man, MorganH419. It's his handle on Instagram. Appreciate you being a fan and reaching out. Dude, just when I always need to pick me up, you come through with posts like this. So needed this today. Keep them coming. Morgan, glad we can help. Appreciate the friendship, appreciate the support, appreciate the feedback. We're all here for each other. That's what this is all about. Launched an 8-week fitness series with my friends from Pure Insurance Company. They're one of our partners here at Inns Group, a carrier that we write a lot of high-end personalized insurance policies with for our clients. Wanted to do something different from the average happy hour evening stuff, something a little bit more aligned with what I like to do, get a bunch of other like-minded guys together. So we launched an 8-week fitness series here in H-Town, one workout a week, different studios, different trainers, get people up and moving. You know, it's about 8 weeks until summertime, so let's start now. Guys, you do not need to be fit to start working out. Think about that for a second. You don't get fit so that you can start working out. You start working out so that you can get fit. That's it. Everybody's got to start somewhere. Nobody starts at the top at any age or at any stage. Not in the shape you want to be in? Okay, man up, let's start. That's it. All you got to do is show up. Fitness is for everybody. Health is for everybody. They say health is the new wealth. Just get moving. Need help? Ask somebody. Ask me. I'm happy to help you. There are tons of people out there that are willing to help. Anything is better than nothing. Let's put you in the right position to succeed. If you are in Houston and you want to be a part of this, reach out to me. Send me an email at gscheinman@innsgroup.net. We'll put you on the list. We'll get you out there. If you got other questions, want feedback, want to learn some things, reach out, let me know. I'll do my best to put you in contact with some people that know a lot more than I do as well. All right. Stop complaining. That's it. Another topic I've been blogging about, talking about, hearing it. Stop complaining. It's that simple. Don't want to hear it. I don't want to be doing it. work the problem, move on. It's hard. People like complaining. They like talking. They like making assumptions, judgment, all that. I'm guilty as well. But I'm paying more attention to it. I'm encouraging people to pay more attention to it. And really, nobody likes a downer or a complainer. So let's not do it. Couple of tips also. On the food front, Blood Brothers Barbecue. Fucking love that place. On Bel Air Boulevard, these guys are crushing it, particularly on the weekends when they've got the smoked chicken and the beef ribs. Q and his boys cranking it out. Try the brisket fried rice. Trust me on this one. Not steering you wrong. Go check out Blood Brothers Barbecue here in town in Houston. TRX straps. Simple yet effective. Have not used these in years. Started using them again. Bought myself a set. I like working out outside more than I like working out inside. This was a forgotten tool. I have now picked it back up, and I love it. If it's not in your routine, use them. Hey, I got no vested interest in this, no skin in the game. I just like them. Whatever I'm talking about, it's stuff I like, I use, I enjoy. Pick up a set of TRX straps. Any level can use these things. Tons of applications. Routine. I still get a lot of emails, direct messages, and texts about routine. Here's the morning routine. I wake up, whatever time you wake up. I wake up in the fives, latest in the sixes. I need some sleep. I get to bed 9:30, 10 o'clock, latest 10:30. Water, chug a glass of water as soon as I wake up. Full glass of water. Feet hit the floor, I drink a full glass of water. Then I'm on my coffee. Black coffee, 2 scoops of Vital Proteins, collagen protein. That's it. Then I fill the bath, Epsom salt bath, 15 minutes in the Epsom salt bath. Then I am in a cold shower. From the hot bath with Epsom salts to the cold shower. This is a 20-minute process. The cold completely energizes me. A lot of studies on cold, a lot of studies on contrast therapy. I tend to go on feel. Since I have integrated cold showers and contrast therapy into my routine, I feel a lot better. Then it's box breathing and meditation. This is 5-10 minutes tops. That's it. That's the morning routine. Every day, Saturdays and Sundays included, and I feel better. Find what works for you. Do your thing. That's what I've been doing, and it works for me. All right, so let's get to the show today. Midlife Male Podcast. Guest this week, Aaron Hind, co-founder and president of Life Aid Beverage Company. I love this product. We used to sell this product at Roe. I think they still sell it at Roe. I'm just not involved at Roe anymore. But great, great beverage. Aaron started out as a doctor of chiropractic. He had his degree. I don't even think I got that right. I don't know. A chiropractor, doctor of chiropractic, got his chiropractic degree from Palmer College. He was the clinic director at Hind Chiropractic Sports Injury and Pain Center for over 10 years. He built one of the top practices in Santa Cruz County, helping over 5,000 individuals, including professional athletes, getting those guys back on the fields, getting people to function as quickly as possible. Started Life Aid in 2001, looking to provide individuals with a specially formulated low-sugar, high-value natural supplement. He now has Fit Aid, Focus Aid, Life Aid, Immunity Aid, Golfer Aid, and Party Aid. That's a lot of aid. He has built this company into one of the top beverage companies in the world. They are serving over 1 million companies worldwide each month. The team at Life Aid is committed to giving back, philanthropic, supporting their community, as well as sponsoring dozens of top CrossFit athletes, Spartan racers, PGA professionals. They're into it. Saw Aaron out at Expo West a couple of weeks ago, chatted it up out there, watched this company grow from its early stages to where it is right now, and he was cool enough to agree to come on the show. He's got an incredible insight, incredible philosophy, perspective, outlook on life. He's a spiritual guy. Let's get into this as he's sitting outside staring at the ocean in Santa Cruz, California, and chats with us all on the Midlife Mail podcast today. Here we go. Aaron Hind, Midlife Mail podcast. Let's do it.
Okay. First thing I want to get to is the email response I got to you when I reached out. I know we had talked in person out at Expo West and said, hey, you come on the podcast, which was super, super gracious of you. But you said, shoot me an email. So I shot you an email, and I immediately get a response back that says, hello, due to an intense travel schedule, I am unable to keep up in a timely manner with the volume of emails I am receiving. Thanks for understanding. And I'm like,
yeah.
And I'm like, this is a fucking great email, okay? Like, this is a fantastic way to manage expectations and balance yes. them, which I loved. But then what I certainly like this even more, was that you actually did then respond to my email, you know, a few minutes later to say, hey, this time works for me. Let's set it up and go. So I want to just ask you, when did this auto reply start and kind of the confidence, you know, to do this? Take me through that process.
It started a few years ago, and part of it is just the volume of emails that I started getting. You know, the more people perceive your success, the more people are reaching out to you. And it's so easy to get people's contact information these days through, you know, LinkedIn and, you know, business cards floating around and what have you. So I knew that I needed to, like you astutely said, manage people's expectations. So it's not that I don't check that account and don't try to get back to people or get back to people in a timely manner. It's just setting the expectation. So if you don't hear from me for 2 or 3 or 4 days, you know, you're like, you're not saying what kind of jerk is this guy. Now, funny story, I had a call with Lance Armstrong, obviously the famous cyclist there a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, he reached out, got my autoresponder, and the guy who put us in touch, he immediately calls him like, who the hell is this guy sending his autoresponder out? So it can backfire a little bit too. But again, setting people's expectations, I think, is very important in life and in business.
Absolutely. You know, look, we're at this time frame right now where everything is instant gratification. And we'll get into that every time you post something or send an email or a text, if you're not immediately responded to, you get that what if, you know, what feeling or the perception that I'm being, you know, blown off because somebody doesn't get back to me in 20 seconds or less.
Why would anyone, especially if you're an entrepreneur, let external forces that you have zero control over, most of which are probably people trying to sell you something, dictate your schedule and what you need to accomplish during a day, right? I mean, that's what people are doing when they're just glued to social or glued to email and, you know, wanting to respond to everybody and every inquiry immediately. It's like your day is completely chaos. There's no structure to it. And I don't know how you could ever move rocks forward if you're letting other people dictate what your priorities are for that day.
Absolutely. Is this something, I mean, you sound so clear and have such great clarity on it now. Was this always the case for you, or is this something that you have worked on as you've grown your business, grown your career, and evolved? Do you work with a coach? Is this something you've read about or tried to practice what you preach also?
Yeah, definitely not something that I had always practiced. I mean, when I was first getting going, I was responding to everything because, you know, you don't know which opportunity out there could actually move the needle on something. So you're saying yes, 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 yes to everything and everything. And it really was through masterminds and having the right mentors and seeing their MO, how they operate, and them saying, you know, really to hit the next stage of growth, you have to start saying no a lot more than you say yes, because it's not just the opportunity that you potentially miss. It's the opportunity cost of, you know, your time and effort going towards something when it could be, you know, focused right on what's in front of you.
Yep. You mentioned masterminds and mentors. And as we're on this, gotten on the topic of managing expectations and not being able to respond to everything, as you get out to a larger audience in one shot who may not get 5 minutes, much less an hour of your time, talk a little bit about the value of mentors, finding a mentor, masterminds, those steps that guys can take early on, or even now in our 40s and 50s, we still have all that learning to do.
Absolutely. Game changer. I don't know anyone that has up-leveled their game significantly or seen, you know, any degree of success that doesn't participate in mastermind groups, doesn't have mentors. And, you know, mentors can change as you evolve. I mean, my mentors today are different than my mentors 10 or 15 years ago. Some are the same, some are different. But, you know, looking at people that have been there and done that, people that are living and breathing the very person or the environment or the business that I want to grow into and I want to become. And the biggest thing about that is not only getting sound advice from people that have been there and done that, but avoiding the pitfalls. I mean, there's certain things that can sink you, and to be able to avoid those and to be able to make your mistakes off Broadway and continue to move the ship forward is key. So I, you know, that's why for me, like yesterday I was down in San Diego and I spoke to a group of young entrepreneurs in a mastermind group, Epic Mastermind. I didn't get paid to go down there. You know, in fact, I flew myself down there and everything, but I put myself out there because I feel like, you know, 20 years in the grind, I got some gems that I can share with people. And if it wasn't for people that shared those gems with me 20 years ago that affected my permanent trajectory, I wouldn't be where I'm at. So it's kind of like, you know, giving forward type of thing. Like, I feel an obligation to help out young entrepreneurs, help them avoid the pitfalls, help them, you know, get focused on what they need to continually move forward in their business and life.
Yep. You mentioned 20 years in the grind, and right before we got on the call or started recording this, you mentioned being 43. I'm 46, and say not quite midlife, you know, and the feeling that kind of hitting your stride or in your prime. And let's talk about that a little bit, about the point of even midlife male is that it's about avoiding the crisis or not looking at things as a crisis. And we can define midlife into all different categories. And to me, it seems like it's getting later and later as we're living longer and certainly healthier. But how are you feeling at 43 with 20 years, as you put it, in the grind?
Well, I'm living the dream right now. I'm so on top of my game. I really, you know what I know. I know what I don't know, and I'm very conscious of there's things I don't know that I don't know. So, you know, my antenna, my radar is completely open right now to the universe, and I've come from an abundance mindset that took me 20 years to learn. You know, in my 20s, like, it's so challenging for men in their 20s because, you know, being a male-centric show, let me talk to 20-year-old men out there. You are so blinded by testosterone in your life. Like, it really drives. I mean, sex just kind of drives, you know, everything. And fortunately, at 40, it doesn't calm down much, but it calms down just enough, right? 30s are a great time for experimentation, and you're out there, and you got, you know, a little bit of a experience under your belt. But for me, 30s were like major, major, you know, learning period. You know, I had a very successful business in my early 30s. I had multiple entrepreneurial ventures that had taught me a lot. But guess what? In 2007, for everyone out there that remembers 2007, I'm looking around, and my friends from high school that are making $15 an hour are all millionaires on paper because of this real estate game, right? So, of course, I think it's a great idea in 2007, well, I'm going to jump in the real estate game. Well, that was about the worst time you could possibly do this. So here I get myself completely over leveraged, you know, and, you know, buy multiple properties. And then fast forward and a year later, you know what happens. And in 2009, you know, I got multiple months where I'm bringing in 50K a month and I've got 70K going out. And I literally find myself at, I think I was, you know, 33 years old in bankruptcy. And looking in the mirror going, I've got 9 years of post-high school education. You know, I'm 260 grand in student loan debt. I've got, you know, this great business bringing in all this income, and I'm bankrupt. Like, talk about humility. Talk about you know, being defeated for a short period of time. And I just remember, like, what am I doing? I'm supposed to be in the prime of my life now. But now I realize that that obstacle was completely necessary at that time in my life to put me on a different path, on a different trajectory, to get me to Life Aid and to where I'm at now. And now, you know, 10 years of the day, 2009 to 2019, you know, I'm running a company that's got a valuation of over $100 million and growing. I've got 70 people on my team. I mean, I paid off my student loans, which you can't write off in bankruptcy. And you know, it's like we vastly overestimate what we can accomplish in the short term, and we underestimate what we can accomplish in the long term. And a decade is the long term. So I start looking at things like, I'm always playing the long game. You know, I don't care about a month, 6 months, a year. I'm looking 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the line. And that's how we approach our business now and treat our customers, and it pays dividends.
That's awesome. So the perfect name, Life Aid. I mean, you described the scenario that you went through, which has to be unbelievably, as you mentioned, humbling, but just so mentally, physically, and emotionally draining. What were the steps you took to create Life Aid, both from that moment to the company itself?
Yeah, so we launched in 2011. We created this company. So 2009, I go BK. I lose all my properties except for the raw land that I'm living on. So I bought some raw land in the Santa Cruz Mountains. I literally put a trailer on it, a 400-square-foot trailer. It's got no power. It's got no road, no amenities, nothing. We're literally heating water on the stove, pouring it in the bath with 2 inches of water to take bath, eating out of ice chests. And I told my wife, you know, it'll be fine. We got some money coming in, and we're going to, you know, build a house. This was like a one-year plan to build a dream house on the top of this hill and develop the property. Well, the BK comes around, my credit shot. That pretty much throws home loan out the window. And fortunately, you know, I still had my business at the time. I was a sports chiropractor, you know, had a great income and a great practice. So I was able to maintain that. And I lost, you know, all my assets. So I'm starting to build things up a little bit, and then starting to save a couple dollars again. And I had always had, you know, I work with a lot of athletes, and always a lot of frustration when these athletes would come into my office drinking an energy drink or sports drinks. I'm like, man, you guys, that's just sugar water. It's sugar and salt, or you're going to get adrenal fatigue with all this excess caffeine, et cetera, et cetera. They're like, great. Well, you know, water's boring. I drink water, but what would you have me get on? There was just nothing I could point to. You know, kombucha had just hit the scene, but it was very acquired taste, still high sugar, kind of hippy dippy. You know, coconut water was just hitting the scene. You know, again, more of an acquired taste. So my business partner and I, Orion, you know, we met in a CrossFit gym here in Santa Cruz. He was a certified financial planner. And we had this aha moment of like, let's create, you know, this very clean nutritional drinks, like vitamins you'll actually enjoy drinking, you know, get out all the garbage. Don't play any of these 2 servings per container game. You know, don't put gratuitous amounts of sugar. Don't put any of these dyes and colors. Like, basically, the shakes that I'm making for myself at home every day, you know, can we put that in the can? And it was really out of passion and ignorance that in 2011, we decided to start a beverage company. Neither of us had any beverage experience whatsoever. So I sell my practice in 2011. I sold it hastily because we were both like, all right, let's go all in on this beverage thing. I'm still living in a 400-square-foot trailer with 2 kids, by the way. And fast forward 6 more months into 2011, my second big life lesson, the guy I sold my practice to, he takes my golden goose that had been producing, you know, over 350 grand a year, every year, referral-based practice, 30 new patients every month for 10 years straight by referral, and runs it into the ground. So I'm not making any income whatsoever from Life Aid. And the only income we're living off of is him making payments on the practice. Well, those payments stopped. So here I am now in 2011, mid 2011, 2 years after the bankruptcy, still living in the trailer. Now we have no income. And what money we had saved over the last couple of years, you know, we burned through quickly. I mean, it got so thin that we were eating macaroni and cheese and tuna 4 or 5 nights a week, which anyone that's broke out there, that's $1.50 meal. So that's an easy way to go. And it got really tight. And then, you know, another time looking in the mirror, like, what, how did you put, you know, you have kids, you have a wife, how are you putting your family into these type of situations and this type of risk, and really challenging my own assumptions and questioning my judgment. And thankfully, you know, my wife, and she's, you know, your, I know your wife's a little older than yours. My wife turns 50 last year. You know, she was like, look, it's going to work out. It always works out. And having that support of her and my business partner and, you know, kind of cheerleading in our corner. And, you know, I was able to start paying myself $1,000 a month and $3,000 a month. And fortunately, you know, we had focus. We had some great mentors focusing our business, saying, look, you guys, you have 3 different drinks on the market. We launched Fit Aid, which is our post-workout recovery blend, Golf Raid for golf courses, and Party Aid was kind of our festival drink, way too close together. And they said, one of my mentors said, choose a single target market. You need to focus, because we had 3 different websites for each product. We had 3 different social media accounts. We're doing events where we got our polo and golf shirts on, then we run out and put on festival gear for a fire dancing event, and then go to a CrossFit event with Fit Aid. I mean, it was chaos, and all of them were burning time and cash and not making money. They said, choose a single target market. So we looked at our business, and Golf Raid was actually bringing in the majority of the revenue at the time, but the trajectory of Fit Aid, the sell-in was easier, the sell-through was greater. And so even though it was a very small piece of business, we pushed all in. We had very limited resources at the time, and we pushed all in with Fit Aid to make Fit Aid a success, specifically in the CrossFit channel. And thank God we made that decision, because after that, you know, we started opening up more and more new gyms one at a time. We opened up 1 month, 30 new gyms, the next month, 50, the next month, 100, the next month, 250, and it just kept rolling and rolling from there.
That's amazing.
Now, I mean, as you're talking about your life experiences and everything you've gone through and perseverance and the passion about it, how much, and you're out there now speaking all the time, podcasting, blogging, sending out weekly newsletters. How much of, I mean, Life Aid, the brand, and what you started and going idea to execution, do you feel kind of the personal connection, you know, people buying into not just the product itself, but the people behind the company, you know, and how transparent you are and honest about, you know, your approach and your experiences. How much do you think that attributes to, you know, kind of the differentiators and why Life Aid versus picking something else up?
100%. You know, I think it's a great question. I've got, you know, 2 interviews today for new people joining our team, 1 tomorrow. Every person that we add to our team, I tell them, I go, look, we have 70 people on this team. You will represent 1/70th of this brand. This brand is not just the drinks that people pick up at Whole Foods or Vitamin Shoppe or Walmart or Sprouts. The brand is how they receive their package if they buy it off of Amazon. It's the quality of the ingredients from our procurement team. It's the customer experience that they get when they have an issue or need something and call our customer service department. Like, every single one of us represents the brand. We need to live the Life Aid lifestyle, and having that culture and having that team, those team members be the right cultural fits is what it's all about. I mean, we are all about people of not only just the highest integrity, but to kind of go deeper on that, like people that are fun to hang around, people that treat people right. Like, you can pay attention to someone. You ever have someone you don't know, you're having a business meeting, and they're just a total jerk to the waiter when you're out to lunch or whatever, or, you know, you're like, I always, that's always red flag in my mind. Or they're talking smack about people, or you could just tell, you know, what's truly motivating people deep down, like on a spiritual level, you know? Are they truly coming from an abundance mindset? Are they truly out to to learn? Are they truly out to better themselves and everybody around them, or are they out to drag people down? Are they in scarcity mode, right? Do they let the little demon on their shoulder constantly talk in their ear and, you know, and get into that negative cycle? So I can teach anybody any skill set in this organization, but having those right cultural fit, having the people that really represent what we're all about in our brand, I'm part of that. I happen to be a little bit more outward facing, but everybody in this organization is a big part of that as well.
Is that something that's always come natural to you, the outward facing, meaning more extroverted than introverted, or do you struggle with that too, and have you worked on that?
Completely struggle with that. I told a story last night in San Diego. I just found my license. I got my license at 16 years old on my 16th birthday. I looked at it, 5'3", 101 pounds. I literally had to have a booster seat to pass my driver's test so I can see over the wheel. I mean, I was a very small kid. I didn't start growing until 19 years old. You know, I was a small kid. I was an emotional kid, very emotional. My mom's very emotional. I got that from her. I was just an emotional kid. So I was introverted. Talking in front of people, talking to people of authority. Oh man. I mean, I used to start crying if I had to, like, even go into my school counselor from junior high to high school. The school counselor's like, oh, we're going to put you in advanced placement classes and stuff in high school. And I started crying just from the having to deal with authority. So I was always been very introverted. And thank God, you know, between my freshman and sophomore year, I thought I wanted to be a stockbroker. So I get an internship at Morgan Stanley Dean Witter. I show up. The guy goes, pretty, you know, no training. He goes, hey, your name is Chris for this 3-month internship. Because all my interns are Chris, and any leads people bring in, it's gender agnostic. And here's the phone book, literally hands me the Santa Cruz County phone book, says start at A, start dialing for dollars to try to schedule appointments. And I was like frozen, you know, for the first few minutes, like, oh my God, am I really doing this? But getting forced into that, like, cold calling, as weird as that sounds, it helped break me of this introverted, you know, little kid that is just scared of any confrontation and everything. And I started developing a little bit of thick skin. And, you know, as I started developing physically, I started getting a little bit more confidence in myself. And, you know, and then it started going from there. But it did not come naturally at all.
Hey guys, recently I discovered Inside Tracker. What they do is help you take your health to the next level by setting up a blood test, easily showing you your biomarker results and telling you specific things you can do to improve the ones that are at risk. I got clear suggestions on which foods to eat, supplements to take, and lifestyle changes to make. This is important to me. I get my blood work done every year. I've never gotten information and insight like what I've gotten from Inside Tracker. It's super important to me at 48 to know what's going on with my body so that I can be at my best for as long as possible. What I got was a clear picture of what my body looks like on the inside, a clear measure of whether my diet and exercise choices are helping or hurting me, a clear idea of who or what to trust when it comes to health, wellness, and performance guidance. If you guys are looking to take charge of your health and wellness, I highly recommend Inside Tracker. To learn more, go to midlifemail.com/partners, find Inside Tracker's information and all of our Midlife Mail brand partners over there.
We jumped ahead a lot, but if we could back up a little bit, what was your motivation or your desire to pursue chiropractics and in school? And that's where you really got your start also.
Yeah. I mean, I was always involved in health and wellness. So starting my junior year in college, I started a supplement business where I was selling supplements to all the athletes out of my dorm room. I got my personal trainer certificate. So I was working with people in the gym. Because, you know, the gym, once you start growing a little bit and putting on some muscle, like, you know, I was like, man, I don't want to go back to the scrawny little kid. So I was very motivated in the gym and working with people. And you know, I went econ in high school. I mean, in college, and I thought, you know, do I want to do stocks after the Morgan Stanley dialing for dollars thing? I go, maybe I don't want to be a stockbroker, but maybe I want to be an attorney. So I took the LSAT. I was kind of going down that road, and ultimately, I ended up working for the government for a very short year right out of college, a government contractor. And I realized the government is so completely ass backwards. I mean, we're talking like $400 hammer type of thing. That's the stuff I was doing. I'm like, okay, this is not for me. And the reason I took that job is because they were going to pay for my law degree. And so I kind of looked at myself. I said, you know, this isn't the path I want to go. I had some good friends in law school, and they were like, I don't know. And I started interviewing lawyers, and at least half the lawyers I interviewed said, yeah, I probably wouldn't be a lawyer if I did it all over again. I'm like, this isn't good. So I looked at, you know, where my life was, and I loved working with people, and, you know, I loved the results I got. I had some pretty incredible results with chiropractic in my younger days. And so I went back to undergrad for a year, got my science prereqs, and applied to chiropractic college.
Mm-hmm. And it's a really, all my experience with chiropractic, again, very, very hands-on, you know, very, very one-to-one. And everything you've done since then has been, on the more business side, not one-to-one, hands-on, you know, in a room, but
right.
Your mindset changed going from that kind of hands-on physical work to now we have to build a brand and I have to motivate, inspire, and work with what's now up to, you said, 70-plus people.
The key to scaling up in business is being able to look at the business as if you are working one-to-one with your customers, right? The more you can personalize that experience, the more you can make your customers feel like you're not just another customer or just another number, but we hear you, you know, we want a successful outcome here, and we work with you until you are not only satisfied, but become a raving fan. I mean, every single negative review we've ever gotten, which is primarily for like damaged shipping stuff, you know, we reach out to. We make sure that it is completely taken care of to their satisfaction and beyond. I've had many, many reviews that were negative initially. Sometimes I'll even personally hop on the phone with them, that then all of a sudden flip it from a 1-star to a 5-star because of the additional outreach. So I recognize that everything I learned in creating a referral-based practice in chiropractic has translated in a very big way to what I'm able to do and what I'm able to offer in my viewpoint and expertise as it comes to scaling Life Aid.
Yep. So one of the things I like to talk about, because I deal with this on a day-to-day basis and always want some insight and advice from smart and successful people, is that work-life balance. You know, you've mentioned your wife, you've mentioned your kids, running a business, the travel, hence the auto reply email, managing expectations. How do you manage kind of work-life balance and your schedule between family, fitness, finance, so everything that makes up your life?
Well, as my wife will attest, from 2011 to probably 2016, I completely failed at it. You know, I failed so hard that, you know, there were difficult conversations where I thought she was going to leave me. I mean, I was only work. I did not want to go back to, you know, what I perceived as a failure. I would never revisit bankruptcy again. I needed to make this work, this business work. And so when I was at home, I was thinking about work. You know, I mean, I even missed my daughter's 7th birthday one time because I thought this, you know, meeting or this place I had to be out of state was more important. I mean, I'm ashamed by, you know, how I handled those early years, and I did not put the focus and intention into my family that they deserved. Now, with some maturity and some very difficult conversations, I've realized that when we say work-life balance, look, I don't believe there is such a thing. It's just life, right? You get in a blow-up fight with your wife, it's going to affect how you feel or performing at work. If you have a big shitty day at work, it affects how you feel at home. So there's no work, there is no personal life. It's just life. So I started looking at it much more holistically. And then I said, okay, can there really be balance? You know, balance, I think, is a mental imagery we get is a scale, and it's like work's over here and you know, family life's over here, and they need to kind of be, you know, in harmony. And it's like, well, that's not really accurate as well. Any entrepreneur out there knows that, like, look, you know, work is probably like 99% of my time, right? Mm-hmm. So I cannot balance it out from a time perspective. I realize that. So what does that leave me with? That leaves me with intention. That leaves me with intention. So instead of being at home thinking about work and then being at work and feeling guilty that I'm not putting any time or intent at home, I'm going, I have limited time. I'm traveling a lot. So when I am at home, how can I really connect? How can I be intentional about that time? And I did a few little things just to switch things up. You know, I committed to cooking dinner for the entire family two nights a week when I'm home. So that gets me, you know, in the kitchen, I'm conversing with everybody. I get to cook up a good meal, and I've become a pretty damn good cook as a result of it. I've committed to, you know, really just checking in with my kids every day. I know I don't have a ton of time, but I'm focused. I'm intentional. I really, you know, it's been a tough journey, but, you know, put down the phone, you know, get off of email, get off of social. Those things can wait. This is, you know, family time. I start picking up the guitar to give myself a little me time and a little creative outlet and teaching myself guitar, which my daughter then started teaching herself. So now her and I can kind of practice together and jam together a little bit. So really focusing on, you know, intent and focus and not time balance, I think was key there.
Yep. I mean, amazing. One, we got to jam a little bit. I play too. And we just put our band back together. And it's one of the things that's bringing me a lot of joy right now is those Sunday afternoons in the garage just with a couple of guys and put everything else aside for those couple of hours in there.
The best, yeah.
Love that. But I really appreciate the notion of, again, not separating the term, whether it's work, personal, you know, or putting those words before the word life, and that it is really just life, and we've got to incorporate all of it in there. You speak from a very spiritual awareness. Were you always a spiritual person? Is there a certain type of spirituality or process that you follow? Or how did this develop?
Well, I grew up in a very conservative household. I have the oldest of seven kids. My family is very religious. They kind of moved around in different types of Christianity and settled when I was a teenager on Greek Orthodoxy. So it's kind of like Eastern Christianity meets Buddhism for people not familiar with it. And, you know, it did speak to me in a lot of ways, but, you know, in college, I kind of went off the deep end a little bit as I started, you know, growing and got interested in girls and exposed to a lot of other things. But I've always known that there is something deeper and greater. There is mysteries that go on there. I've seen miracles in front of my mind. I've seen things like on my very first mushroom experience, my first psilocybin experience, you know, seeing a spiritual reality that people are like, oh, well, that was the mushrooms. It's like, well, maybe, or maybe just filters were removed and I was able to see things and perceive things that I normally can't see or perceive. So I truly believe that there is a spiritual reality that's going on that, you know, some of us can tune into and some aren't tuned into. I see, you know, my sister, you know, I've got seven kids. We're all fairly extreme, right? We come from a background, fortunately, neither of my parents were alcoholics, but a lot of my family, grandparents, aunts and uncles, heavy, heavy alcoholism. So we have this kind of extreme addiction in our family. I've got, you know, one brother who, you know, has been in and out of jail and really struggled with the law his whole life and addiction and gambling. I've got another sister who's a nun and who's been a nun since she was 15 years old. So it's like, I see the spiritual struggle. I see that it's real. I think that, you know, if we think back when the cartoons when we were kids and Bugs Bunny would have like the little demon and the little angel pop up on his shoulder and both convince him to do other things, I think that's probably not that far from reality. Think mm-hmm. about it. If we start thinking about our thoughts, we start observing our thoughts, we will observe that these little demonic forces pop up and are constantly trying to tempt us. They're either saying, pursue the, you know, the sins of the father, like, oh, whether that's gambling or alcoholism or porn or whatever it is. Or they're telling you, eh, you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're going to fail again. You're going to lose. You know, you're a piece of shit. You're going to be found out, whatever it is, right? And so I don't know that it's possible to remove those thought processes completely. I think that that little demon on the shoulder is always going to be there. But having processes to be able to halt that and not have those become the repetitive thoughts of your mind is key to change your trajectory. Because it's like abracadabra, right? With my words, with my thoughts, I create. I'm manifesting my own reality. So one tip that I use, one trick that I've used, a hack, so to speak, is anytime I'm starting to get that negative self-talk, I recognize it, number one. I go, aha, there it is again. There's my seven-year-old self with my mom telling me money doesn't grow on trees and I'm getting in scarcity mode. So I'll go outside. I think it's very important to go out in nature. Fortunately, I live in Santa Cruz, which is just, you know, a beautiful, beautiful spot. I take a few deep, deep breaths in, and I'll go for a little walk. And here's the key. I am hyper-focused on being present. Hyper-focused on being present. Meaning I am observing the leaves and the way the sun is coming off of those and the wind is bending them and the birds playing and all of these things, like hyper-focused on the present. And what I've noticed is when you're hyper-focused on the present, you have massive appreciation. Like, wow, this is literally the best time in the entire history of humanity to be alive. You know, and I am fortunate enough to live in this beautiful place with this incredible environment, this incredible support network and team. And when you are hyper present and you're focused on that and you're in appreciation mode, guess what? All those demons and all those negative thoughts cannot coexist. They go away. So it's a nice little reset. And then I can go back in after a little 10-minute walk and boom, I'm ready to rock and roll again. So I haven't tried to eliminate, you know, all those kind of negative temptations and all that stuff from my thought process, but I've learned to manage them quite well.
Yep. What is your daily routine? We talked about it at the very onset, again, before we hit the button quickly. I said, hold on to that. But do you have a set daily routine, things you do every day?
Yeah, it starts with my morning routine. You know, I'm very big on trajectory, both long-term and setting my daily trajectory. So this has been one of two things that I think have been major game changers for me. And setting a morning routine and sticking to it every morning. So I wake up, I drink a glass of water, I fill out my 5-minute journal. If you're not familiar with 5-minute journal, it's like three things that you're grateful for. So you get into appreciation mode, just kind of what I was talking about. Three things that'll help make today great, and one self-affirmation. Okay. So kind of setting my mindset there. I hop in the shower. At the end of my shower, I'll do Wim Hof breathing, which the Iceman Hof. Check them out on YouTube if you're not familiar with it. It's hyperoxygenating the bloodstream. And then I shut the hot water off and just go cold plunge for about a minute. That's like a euphoric boom. It's better than any shot of espresso, anything, right? And then from there, I'll make the kids breakfast. We have chicken, so I'll do, you know, kind of a keto breakfast with organic eggs. I'll make myself some bulletproof style coffee with MCT oil and some brain food. I take my supplements. I take my son to school. And with him, we'll do a short morning prayer together. And then with him, I ask him, what are you grateful for, son? What will make your day great? What's one self-affirmation for you? So he repeats verbally to me his 5-minute journal. And then when I drop him off, we both do a little mantra together. We say, today is a fabulous day filled with opportunity and potential, which I got from 15 years ago from the hypnotist Marshall Silver. He was at a seminar I was at. He did a hypnotism thing and spoke on stage. I wasn't hypnotizable, unfortunately, so I got kicked off stage. But I saw him in the bar afterward, and we got bullshitting. And I said, you know, what's something tactical I can start doing that will, you know, help improve my life? He goes, look, and I don't know, this is totally full of shit or what, or he was hypnotizing me at the bar or what. He said, if you start every morning with today is a fabulous day filled with opportunity and potential, 5 years from now, I'll promise you you'll be $1 million richer. I said, what do I got to lose? I've been doing that for 15 years. I drop my son off after that, and then I'm a block, you know, our office is a block away from the ocean. So I went, just like I just finished here, down to Natural Bridges Beach, I recline my seat back, do another much deeper round of Wim Hof breathing. I get into a meditative state for a few minutes, and then I come out and I just do a little stretching. I greet the sun with a couple yoga poses and watch the ocean. And, you know, there's all kinds of fun stuff to look at out there. I saw dolphins last week cruising around, and then I come into the office. I'm ready to rock and roll.
Now, that, amazing stuff. When you get to the office, so you're outside in nature, you're doing the breathing, you're doing the cold plunge. By the way, I love the whole morning, you know, the ocean, the beaches, the dolphins. We don't get all this. We don't get that stuff in Houston, but I'm with you on the bulletproof coffee. I'm with you on the hot and cold contrast therapy, a lot of the other, you know, things in there. But when you get to the office, I say this too, because I'm sitting here in my office inside right now after meeting a great group of guys at 7 in the morning for a workout, going out for a great breakfast after that, getting the hot cold going, showering, getting to the office. And now I'm up in the 25th floor, you know, looking at buildings, and you got to actually get shit done. How do you, you know, once you've done all that, can you really sit down? Like, and again, and do you focus? How do you approach the work? And I was even talking to guys this morning doing the hard stuff, you know, because to a lot of us, what you were just talking about in the morning, all those other things, the fitness, that comes kind of naturally, maybe to guys like us. But where I struggle, and maybe other guys are, okay, well, we got taxes to handle. You know, I got producer agreements to look at. I got emails piling up that I don't have an auto reply on from clients that have had, you know, claims or issues or things that are going on that demand attention. How do you approach the hard stuff?
Yeah, great question. Well, My role has changed, right? I mean, earlier on, I was a technician in every sense of the word. I mean, I'm doing everything, writing marketing campaigns, creating email sequences, you know, formulations, taking out the trash, like just doing everything. Well, now we have a team that handles a lot of that. So my day is divided. Part of it is supporting the staff. Like, you know, do you have any roadblocks? What can I do to help remove roadblocks so you can achieve what you want to achieve? If there are things specifically on my desk that I'm procrastinating on, you know, traditionally, right, what do all the business management people say? Like, oh, well, you know, bang out the thing that you want to do least first and get it done, then the rest of the day is easy. Well, look, that's kind of bullshit, you know? I'm at a point, like, if there's shit I don't want to do or I've been procrastinating too long on, why the hell am I doing it? I'm probably not that good at it, and that's why I'm procrastinating, because the shit that I'm really good at, I bust that out quickly, and I like doing it, right? So that's where if you're looking at things and there's certain things that you're like, I hate doing this, and it's piling up, and I'm procrastinating, then you need to find someone on your team that excels at doing that particular thing, that really loves doing that, that's within their unique ability, and then hand that over to them and have them rock and roll with it. So dividing up the business and getting rid of stuff off of your plate that you don't enjoy doing, whether that's, you know, having an assistant that's going through your emails and responding to certain claim issues or putting an autoresponder on there or what have you. That way I can really focus on things that I know that I'm excited about that are going to move the needle in a big way. I love closing deals. So I love kind of nurturing big deals and big accounts that I know it might not close a week from now or 6 months from now or a year from now. And some deals I've been working on for 4.5 years now, but I know eventually it'll close because I am a persistent mofo and I will continue to work with people until they either buy, die, or tell me to F off. Like that's just, you know, I just keep going and keep going. So, and then working with my team and supporting them and knowing that they're firing on all cylinders and they're in, I mean, we're all in alignment on what needs to get done and what needs to get achieved. So I don't know, you know, if that directly answers it, but basically I'm saying if there's stuff you really don't appreciate, don't enjoy doing, don't do it. Get someone else to do it.
Yep. It's great advice. We get sidetracked or pigeonholed into things that we don't really want to do and not find the right way to get ourselves out of it. And as you said, persevere on it. So how do you respond? And we're getting pressed. How do you respond to those no's? Again, looking at things as the long game. I actually got an email the other day. I've been trying to set up a meeting with an individual and with a company. I'd like to think we're both pretty successful. I don't really love the word busy guy, but we're busy. You know, it's in there too. And on three separate occasions, this thing has had to be rescheduled for various different reasons on both sides. And the response that kind of came back was, hey, you know, we've tried to do this like three times already. You know, maybe it's not meant to be. How is a persistent mofo like yourself, you know?
Yep.
How do you handle that kind of stuff?
Look, I look at it like no is never no, and people may not be willing, ready to do business with you or be one of your employees or whatever it may be today, but that doesn't mean things won't change a week from now or a year from now or 5 years from now. So instead of looking at it like I want to get this done because there's a lot in it for me and for my business, start looking at it through the lens of how can I continually provide value to this individual? And sometimes I get old school. I'll write a handwritten note. I'll send, you know, print out an article that's right in their industry and, you know, is relevant to them and send that out to them. I'll do gifting. I'll buy them tickets to something. I'll, you know, any way that I can continually stay top of mind without an ask, with just like value price. A great way, especially if you're well-networked. You know, hook them up with somebody that you know can instantly become a client or instantly put cash in their pocket, right? So you nurture the relationship without the ask part of it. Go like, well, what if there was no ask? There's nothing in it for me, but my whole goal is to provide as much value to this person as I can. It kind of shifts the framework, and then you're like, oh, I can introduce them to them, or I can do this for them or that for them. And guess what? The law of reciprocity, the universal law of reciprocity, works 100% of the time. So if you take that point of view and you're legitimate about it and you believe it and have faith in it, then over time it will always come back in spades.
Yep. Great, great advice. Let's rapid fire through a couple of things. We'll get tattoos. You've got a bunch, right?
Yeah.
First tattoo, what was it and why did you get it?
First tattoo, I was a week after my 18th birthday, and I got a cheesy little armband that were popular in the early to mid-90s just because I could, and I was like, this is the first thing I want to do in adulthood. And again, I grew up very conservative, so it was a slight act of rebellion. My mom cried, by the way.
Alcohol. Do you drink?
I do. I've never had an issue with alcoholism. That, you know, is a genetic kind of issue in my family, but I really, really enjoy red wine. I do go off alcohol occasionally, just as I do, you know, coffee occasionally, just to know that I can do it. I always want to keep things in check and know that, you know, nothing's running my life, that I'm, you know, still in control here. But I really love wine, and so I enjoy, you know, usually a glass or two with dinner.
Are you still on that property in Santa Cruz where the trailer was?
Still on it. The trailer has been upgraded to a 3-bedroom, 2-bath prefab because there was a fire on the property and that one burned down. But I still haven't built the dream home yet, but guess I am debt-free. And so, you know, my wife and I have talked about it. It's like, look, we want to build the dream home, but we don't want to go in major debt and be burdened by that again. So we're fine. We love it. We've got a beautiful outdoor area and nature and our animals and the kids are having a good time. So let's just wait until there's a point where we can pay for a house cash.
Yep. So, and that basically kind of led me into, or maybe even answers the next question that I had for you, but your relationship with money, with everything that you've been through, What do you think about money and finance?
Well, talk a little bit about the mindset shift and really getting into abundance mode. I think that's important. You know, I still take risks when they're more calculated. I think there's a reason that my business partner happened to be a certified financial planner, happens to be really good with money. So having him as a sounding board, but really my goal for, you know, for where I'm at now in this phase of our business was just to get debt free, you know? So we got a small payday during one of our private equity financing rounds. We were able to take a couple chips off the table. My chips stayed in my pocket for literally 10 minutes. My COO can attest to this because I brought him over to watch. I brought up my student loan account and and I paid off $260,000 with one stroke of the key. So, you know, I'm really focused on staying debt free, being smart, you know, controlling my spending, not being an idiot with it, and really, I'm still all in and in a very, you know, one investment, so to speak, right? I mean, LifeAid is what holds, you know, the entirety of my wealth, but I have control over that. I have confidence in that. I've got a great team, and so I'm okay with that.
Education, school, life, combination of the two. What are you talking to your kids about?
Yeah, great question. My kids are just, they're very into school. They're both, you know, either straight A or maybe a couple B students, and they're totally into it. I discounted, so I was, you don't know, I served twice on the county board of education. So I've been elected twice to countywide office. You know, so I'm not, and I have 9 years of post high school education. So I'm not anti education. I learned a lot in college. It was a great growing experience. But I realized that I don't know that if you have to undertake a lot of debt, if it's worth it. And I also know that nothing that is said on, you know, your biology class or history class or all this kind of stuff in textbooks, if you miss a day, like, it's not going to cripple the rest of your life. So I'm all about kids. Come on, let's cut school today. Let's go skiing, or let's cut this week and let's go to Hawaii. You know, I'm always trying to get them to bail out on school and do something that's more life experience, but they're resistant to it for the most part. Like, they're committed to school, which I respect. You know, I respect that. But we have open dialogue about, like, is college right? Do you want to go to college? You know, I mean, do you want to go in debt? What's that look like? And so we have an open dialogue. I think I don't know how it's going to play out, if the kids end up, you know, going to college or not, or they pursue something or start an entrepreneurial career or what have you. But I'm just giving them my life experience and where I sit on it.
Awesome. Biggest pet peeve, what bugs you?
What bugs me the most? Oh, gosh. There's a few things that bug me. At the office, I am very conscious about verbiage and how people communicate. I detest soft talk and negations. Soft talk is I might, I wish, I like, maybe, sorta. People not committing to anything, and negations are, you know, I can't, I won't, I haven't, you know. It's like, well, what can you do? What will you do? Right? So soft talks and negations are big for me. People not doing what they say they're going to do is another big thing for me. Like, when you commit to something, follow through on it. You know, I think that not enough people in life are following through on their commitments, and all you have in this life is your reputation. You know, even if this business that I'm in right now went bye-bye, I'm confident I would still land on my feet because I know my reputation's solid. I know I've created a lot of value for a lot of people, and they would invest in me again, even if this thing went kaput. So you got to be conscious of your reputation and make good on your word.
What were the three things you were grateful for this morning?
Three things I was grateful for this morning. I was grateful that I got an incredible night's sleep last night. I got about 8.5 hours of sleep. I was grateful that my presentation down in Southern California went really well. I had a lot of great questions from the audience and connected with a lot of the entrepreneurs afterwards. And what was the third thing? I was grateful that it's actually going to be a sunny week this week, and I'm outside right now on our deck at work and just absorbing vitamin D, and I love it.
Nice. Okay, last question. You do a lot. Everything we've talked about, how many things you do from the time you wake up, your morning routine, the time you spend in the office, time you spend at the, what would you say to those who feel they don't have the time, you know, or how do you do it all?
None of us have the time. None of us have enough time, quote unquote. I mean, we're all limited by this construct of 24 hours in a day, right? So throw that out the window. There's not enough time to do all the stuff that we want, but what we can control is our focus and attention. Like I said, kind of coming back to, you know, working with my issues with connecting with the family and the kids and everything, it's the same thing. You know, as a team grows, I may not have an hour to take every employee out to lunch and connect with them, but I might be able to go, I'll be able to go by their desk for, you know, 2 minutes and connect with them and say, how are you doing? Do you need anything? You know, how are you performing? So get out of the time paradigm, because none of us have enough time, and get into the focus and intent paradigm.
Awesome. Aaron, where can we find you guys?
Great spot to check us out is always our website, LifeAidBevCo, A-I-D, LifeAidBevCo.com. Or from a retail perspective, you can find us almost everywhere now. All the Walmarts we're rolling out in this month, Whole Foods, Vitamin Shop, GNC, Sprouts, Kroger, Safeway, half the CVS's, et cetera, et cetera. So keep an eye out for us. FitAid and FocusAid are our top two sellers, and all kinds of gyms around the United States, as you said earlier.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Midlife Male Podcast. Please leave us that 5-star rating, that positive review. If you want to reach out to me, greg@midlifemail.com. Let me know what you think. Comments, questions I should ask, men we should have on the show. Subscribe to the newsletter at gregscheinman.com. And let's go. I'll see you next week.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your $1 a month trial today at shopify.com/records.